going to be excellent. All right, we're going to start now. Hey, everyone. Welcome to a WNBA State of Mind where we mainly discuss basketball, but we love other sports. Please help me welcome my special guest today, and I'm real excited about Delisha Milton-Jones being on the show. Had her on it in Vegas, but this time we get a solo event from her. You know, former WNBA player, Olympic gold medalist, and current head coach of Old Dominion University. Real excited about that. The Mecca, you know, you're in the Mecca of women's basketball, the torchbearer for women's sports, and of course, my co-host, Dominique Don Dada Wilford, is on the show as well. We're going to kick it off. You know, got some great questions for you. You know, D, you're from a small town, all right? Yeah. Riceboro in Georgia. Growing up, did you ever imagine yourself with a scholarship to the University of Florida, okay, becoming the SEC Player of the Year, all right, making first-team All-American, okay, receiving several gold medals, and then on to becoming a two-time WNBA champion with the LA Sparks?
Never in my wildest dreams did I ever imagine my life would work out the way that it has. And what makes it even more amazing is the fact that I probably shouldn't be here today, because at the age of 11, I had a near-death experience. Well, I died. Someone found me at the bottom of a swimming pool. And so they had to pull me out, resuscitate me. I had to stay in the hospital for about 2-3 days. They were worried that I was going to have brain damage and all, you name it. They were scared. They were worried. So for me to even be here, having this opportunity to achieve all those things that you read off, it's a godsend. And I understand my purpose, and I understand the intentionality I need to have attached to everything that I do on a daily basis, because I'm getting a second chance at this thing.
Wow. Absolutely interesting fact. I think all of us have some kind of crazy story. You know, I shouldn't have been here either. I was up in Bear Mountain in New York. My mom tells me not to go up the mountain, and what do?
Go up the mountain.
And roll down the mountain, going I don't even know how many miles per hour. And I had a guy, a friend of mine, God bless his soul, his name was Timothy, grabbed me just before I went off the edge, and I had the like compound fracture in sixth grade already. So, you know, that's crazy. Not to take away from the story, but I think as athletes, we were just daredevils.
All the time, always getting in something. Look, my mom gave clear instructions. She said, okay, y'all go into this pool, but neither one of you can swim. So here's a dime, call me if anything happens. So I'm sitting there watching my sister when she's supposed to be watching me, and I done slipped my tail in the pool and killed myself, basically. But thank God I'm here to tell the story.
Thank God. Thank God you're here to talk about the story. And that's just absolutely amazing. I know that Dom is sitting there. He's just sitting there burning. He always loves to ask questions. So go ahead, Dom.
Coach, I got a question for you. I've been meaning to ask you this for a while. Okay. You've been around some phenomenal players and coaches. If you were a GM, who would be on your dream team to compete against today's players, and why?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Ooh, let's see. Wow, I played against a lot of great players. Dang. But great
and you can include yourself because you were a hybrid post.
Look, I can include both Goody and myself, because I'm going to tell you something about these two women sitting on this on this podcast right now. We may not have been your league leaders when it came to points, assists, or steals, or maybe even minutes. But man, there was no one built like the two of us that were like two-way players. I almost want to say we were three-way players. We're going to get you with the mind. We're going to get you with the body. And then we're going to get you with the game. And we had all of that while we still were playing a role. We were like the unsung MVPs. We were like the engines that would make teams go. You know it's there but people get enamored by the amenities of the car, you know, the rims and the interior. But I don't know, no car that's gonna run without an engine. And that's what the two of us were, you know. So I want to give those flowers to both of us, but I'm gonna pick a different team, you know, because we've always been those selfless type players. But I'm gonna pick a different team. So let's see. I would have to say my point guard would be, and this, you want this to all be women or all? Yeah, you want this, to mix
this
it up?
Is, this is us. This is our generation against them. Right
here
now,
we go. This gonna be good. It's gonna be good. I'm gonna go ahead and put I'm gonna go ahead and put Cynthia Cooper as my one.
Okay.
I'm gonna have Cheryl Swoops as my two. Katie Smith as my three. Mm. My four player, Yolanda Griffith. Filthy.
Yo.
And then my five player, man, I could go back with like a Jen Gillum, or I could go back with like a Natalie Williams or Margo Dedic. That thing can get nasty.
That's right, you know, we got reserves too.
You hit six.
Come on with four more.
Four more, golly. You can throw Sten in there, Adrian Stinson. Ooh, mm-hmm. Golly.
Ooh, that's ooh, one heck of a five. You know, I don't know who's going to outscore you guys. I don't know.
And I don't know who's going to score on us.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some great defenders in that list. Underrated defenders.
Underrated. I'm always for the underdog. I love it. Mm-hmm.
I know, that's right.
Speaking of underdogs, can we talk about growth for a little bit on the college and the pro level with today's game? What growth in today's game, because you've seen it from both sides, needs to still happen for women's basketball to evolve? It's evolving.
Yeah.
But in your mind.
Yeah. So I think the best is still yet to come. What we're seeing now is a steady trend, an upward trend in terms of visibility, marketability, and even likability. I even love the fact that we have even more haters than we did back in the day. I love the fact that social media is a part of the conversation, and now you get all the couch coaches that want to come out, all the weekend warriors, they feel like they could come and they can give their two cents on the women's game. I love it all. We need it all, because the haters are the ones that really fuel us. We doing it for you. But outside of that, I love the fact that you see the women making more money. You see that there's more visibility in the TV deals, and you can find us on your mainstream channels. I love the fact that there's longevity that we're seeing within the league. I love the versatility within the WNBA, because it's not just about basketball. It's about telling the stories of the powerful individuals that make up the league. And now you see the women's impact on the fashion industry, the music industry, being a mother. You know, it goes all across the board. So I love the fact that they're stoking the fire, and there are several irons within the fire that are heated up, where we can come out and we can brand different levels within corporate America, all because of the beautiful game that we play.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fantastic response. The growth of the league is absolutely fantastic. I love seeing it on television. Talk a little bit about the Aces in New York series. I mean, that we just finished up the. I mean, I tell you, I say to everybody, like, people thought I was crazy up in here, okay? From
why?
Screaming and just being a part of it and just trying to woo-sah and saying juice and energy and sitting over here going, New York is on the line. I was going through it, man.
Look, I was too, but I love the fact that the series went the way that it did. I love the storylines behind it. I love the play. I love the fact that Vegas had a two-game lead, then New York came back. I love the fact that it went to game five. It was great for the game, great for TV, just great all across the board. I felt like when Chelsea Gray went down, I was like, okay, one of two things is going to happen. Vegas can come out with the wounded animal mentality, and New York can sleep on them, or New York can come out and be like, you know what, we about to dead this situation. We already have the momentum. Let's go ahead and get them while they're down and let them regroup and try that thing next year. But when I saw in the fourth quarter, Vegas was still in the game, and it was about six or so minutes left, and I saw Vegas like tie it up, I looked at one of my players and I said, hey, I said, Vegas is about to win this game. And she was like, what, coach? And I said, yeah, they're about to win this game, because if they come down this next possession and they score, New York is going to get tight, because you know how that is, Goody. You know, you're the team that should win. All the odds are stacked against your opponent. You got them down. They're playing their rotational players, major minutes. New York, it was supposed to be New York's game. In the garden. Come on. They were supposed to win the game. So Vegas takes the lead. New York started taking some ill-advised shots. And then I start seeing Asia, you know, try to position herself where success favors the bold. She started getting into her bag, just making aggressive movements towards the basket, turn around, fade away jumpers. She hitting them jokers. You know you about to be in trouble. And it was a perfect setup. What New York didn't have that Vegas had, Vegas had plenty of heart and grit. They knew how to just roll their sleeves up and win an ugly game with pure heart. And you can see that camaraderie that Vegas had. That's why it's important for teams to have cohesiveness. You just used that word with my players the other day. It's important for them to have cohesiveness, because how you see Vegas portrayed on social media, and then we were there to witness it ourselves when we went back for alumni night, seeing the togetherness that whole entire organization has, it was put on display in the most crucial moment under the most adverse situation ever. Them girls came together and they grinded and gritted that win out. And New York should be ashamed of themselves for letting that happen on their home court.
Get the side of the game.
Where's Brooklyn at? Just give them the bit. You know, just a rivalry. You know, one of those teams that, you know, the league covets. And so, you know, with that comes that bag where people are just like not rooting for you because you guys get everything. And so with that being said, that was a fantastic answer. I tweeted early in the game, they cannot beat us at our worst. So I knew we were going to win because we were neck and neck and neck and neck, and they could never like just create separation. So I knew they were in trouble, you know? Yep. So like you said, that cohesiveness, and it's just really important that we have that. You know, and you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind. I got my girl, Delisha Milton Jones, on the show. Co-host Don Dada Wilfred over here chopping it up, talking about the last week's past game, Las Vegas Aces. Also chopping it up about, you know, where she's from, Riceboro, Georgia. Just giving us a few nuggets about her history. Real excited about having you on. And this leads to the next question that I have. Excitability. And excitingly, you guys are playing in the Sun Belt Conference again. Okay?
Yeah.
It's when us Lady Monarchs won everything. We won conference. We won NCAA championship my freshman year. Still buzzing about that. I think it's something that you hold on to for the rest of your life. Once you're a winner, always a winner. And you know that from winning on all levels, Olympics, including the WNBA. And so, you know, when you got winners around you, that winning mentality, it carries out for the rest of your life. All right. Talk about the Sun Belt and what we can expect players to watch in us and nationally.
Okay. So the Sun Belt Conference, it's an interesting conference. I'm not sure how it was when you played, Goody, but this conference is a mature conference. You have a large influx of junior college and transfer players. So there's not a lot of room for true freshmen and true sophomores to come in and really get good minutes unless you are like that. Now, you have to understand, taking this job here at ODU, we were in Conference USA prior. And after a year, we had to make the transition to the Sun Belt. So I had to revamp everything in terms of my roster. We studied the Sun Belt Conference and we saw that over 80% of the conference is JUCO and transfer portal level kids. So I couldn't come in here and try to build my program from the ground up when you're a new coach. You know, you want to be able to bring in true freshmen, groom them, you take your bumps and bruises, they get experience, then boom, by their junior year, by year two, year three, we smooth sailing. Well, I had to find the quick fix if I wanted to come in and be competitive, because following the footsteps of the late, great Nikki McCray Pinson, she had the team rocking and rolling after she took the job at Mississippi State. So coming in, I knew that the community was accustomed to winners based off of what you guys did during your era and then what Nikki had reestablished during her 3-year stint here. I had to win. So I had to win now. So I had to recruit for winning now. So that's why our team is comprised of junior college level and transfer portal players. Now, the style of play is fast and furious. It is not for the faint of heart. You better check your cardio levels. You better check your heart compass, because you better come ready to play. Because junior college players, they just have this edge about them where they just got that dog mentality, that underdog. This is the thing that they've been dreaming of, to get on the D1 level. And now that they're here and playing in the Sun Belt Conference, you're going to see aggressive play. We want to bring an up-tempo style where we're getting out and we're running and playing, and then we allow ourselves to manipulate and control the game when it needs for us to be strategic. Then we'll pull that thing out and slice and dice you up. On the defensive end, we're going to be just as aggressive too. I want there to be pressure, nonstop pressure, from the full court, three-quarter court, to the half court. I want everyone to have their opponents be able to smell whatever it was they ate for a pregame meal. And I hope it was a sandwich filled with onions, so it can be unpleasant for whoever it is that has to experience, you know, our players on the court. But with 10 new players on the team, I understand that there is a maturation process that has to take place in terms of finding that level of cohesiveness that we all know that winning teams must have. And we're going to have to take some bumps and bruises in the non-conference schedule to really ready us for conference play.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk about a few diamonds that you have and maybe some players that you're concerned about in the Sun Belt and also on the national level, the teams that you play. I got my guest, my special guest, Alicia Milton-Jones, co-host Dominique Dondada, Wilfred over here. It's getting hot up in here. Great answers, great questions, you know, talking about the Sun Belt, you know, also talking about some players to watch. And you were talking about your point guard, Jordan.
Yeah, so Jordan McLaughlin, she's one to see. She's a three-level scorer now. When she came to us, she probably wasn't able to do many of the things that she's doing now. She was predominantly right-handed, but now we have her going to the left so she can explore both sides of the court and just give them hell from that regard. She can shoot the three with consistency, and she has that mid-range game. So the way that she plays is a way that will excite fans, because she's willing to get hype, attack the rim and play through physicality, defend, try to get block shots from that point guard position, because you know all point guards think they're like 6'2" and they got leaping ability like, I don't know, Rodman, you know. So she got a larger than life personality, so she'll be fun to watch. We have Kay Clark. She's a savvy vet. She's like a 3-and-D type player. Even though she has a nasty float game going to the rim, she's ambidextrous, so she can shoot with her right and her left hand. She has great court vision and being able to pass. But the thing that I love about Kay is she is an individual that has sticky fingers. She's a woman that loves the 5-finger discount. She loves stealing the basketball. She's going to get in there. If it's anywhere in her area, she is going to tie you up or she's just going to steal it. She grew up training with NFL safeties and defensive backs. So wow. You can already imagine how that has improved her vision on the defensive end. Her reaction time and her instincts are impeccable. We have Nina Orji coming from the University of Hawaii as a transfer. She brings a winning mentality. They made the NCAA tournament the past 2 years that she was at Hawaii, so they won the conference championship. She's a big girl on the inside, real nice and smooth with her right hand, her left hand, great footwork, great vision. She kind of reminds me of Kevin Durant being a point forward or a point center, so to speak. She can handle the ball. She's deceptive with her footwork. Then we have India Buford. Man, India Buford is a bucket. She's another three-way scorer, and she's just a physical straight-line driver. Real headsy, has a high IQ and vision on the game. When you really see her get in her bag, she's fun to watch. I think that she's the type of player that could get to the free throw line 8 to 10 times a game easy, just with how aggressive that she plays the game. So those are some fun ones that you guys will be able to watch. And then I got to add Simone Cunningham. Her idol is Dennis Rodman, and she takes that thing to heart. She had 17 rebounds and I think 12 points in our exhibition game the other night. 17 rebounds, 7 offensive, 10 defensive. She's a high-flying act, very acrobatic, rebounds out of her area. Can contort her body in weird ways, but still play with physicality. So she's one that will probably make a lot of highlight films, and she loves to block shots. So I can't wait to see her impact the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Watching her, I'm real excited for the fans to see her play. She gets after it. She understands the assignment, and she's like the epitome of a player here from Old Dominion University. She just gets after it. You know, especially rebounding. She coming for Tracy Claxton. I promise you, with those rebounds, and I'm excited. I'm really excited about it. And you know, this also leads to my next question, because I've been over there a lot, and you know, just coming around and just trying to, you know, support the program and help the program as much as I possibly can, because that's what we do. And like, lastly, like I was big on the alumni coming back. All right, teaching, mentoring, practicing against us on the regular. For me, it was Kim Barnby Barnes, all right, who supported me mentally, physically, spiritually, and even financially, because you know how it is when we're young and we don't have any money.
Yes.
So I ate, make sure I had food, just, you know, had a little change in my pocket, split me $20 every now and again, just those types of things. Also, Angela Cotman. Angela Cotman came back almost every day to practice with us, to show us how hard we needed to play in order to win. And she was a fixture. We expected her to be there. She went out to dinner with us. She came over to the house. She hung out. She wasn't that far removed, but she played with Ing and them. But you know, and lastly, you have Nancy Lieberman. Okay, and Nancy, most of the time led by the things that she did in the community, showing us the ropes, the things that we could do and we could become after basketball. She came around a lot. Me and Medina always played 2-on-2, full court. I got in trouble on numerous occasions for not being in study hall, playing against her and Martina Navratilova, 2-on-2, full court against me and Medina. And we just did it morning, noon, and night. And so it's that type of influence, you know? Talk about how important it is for the current alumni to participate, support, and become visionaries on a journey towards a conference championship, as well as making an NCAA bid.
So what I love so much about what you just stated, you tapped into three of the main things that I spoke to the team about today. I had to get them to understand who I am and why I do what I do the way that I do it. It's about serving, protecting, and promoting. And me as a coach, if that's my mentality, then it would be only right that my players embrace that. But imagine how much more powerful it is when those that have already been here, done that, when they come back, when they come back to till the land, when they come back to pull out the weeds, when they come back to water and shower down on these beautiful seeds that are planted currently in the program. When they come back and they do that, you're tending to your garden. And when I look at ODU women's basketball, the Lady Monarchs are a pillar of success in the women's game, a pillar of power. You can't say UConn without saying Old Dominion, because y'all were giving people hell back in the day. You guys are national household names. Y'all put ODU on the map. So the alumni, the legacy doesn't stop when your tenure is up at ODU. It's about continuing the legacy and coming back and bringing yourselves in this environment so the players can allow you to be a tangible object, something they can touch, something they can talk to. The girls seeing you and hearing you, understanding your story, and now having to research you, and then myself and my husband who's on staff, we get to tell them Adrian Goodson's stories. Now they have a different affinity for you when you come around. They can fear you on one end because they know that you're going to come and bring that fire. But then they can also respect you and honor you on the other because you are a proven winner here. So who better than to tell the story of where we've been to help us navigate to where we're trying to go than the alumni that have done that? So the likes of you, the likes of Tisha Pinachero, Clarice Marchinguana, Nyree Roberts, Lucienne Berthaud, all these greats. Nancy Lieberman still comes back. Kim Alston is within the program itself. Susie, oh my gosh, having people come back and give up their time now, that's the most precious resource that our alumni can do for our current players. Pay us back with your time by being intentional with how you handle those that are currently in the shoes that you once were in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Just powerful, powerful words, and something that's a must. And, you know, something that I'm going to say directly to the alumni. You need to come back. You need to be supportive. And if you're not supportive, then just keep your mouth shut. That's just the bottom line. It's the bottom line. Because what you're doing right now and what I see you doing and on a daily, on a regular with these kids and the girls that are representing Old Dominion University deserves a hand clap, and it deserves support, and it deserves love, and it deserves all of the alumni that are out there to come back, start coming to games and gather around this thing. Just because you're not a part of the legacy right now, okay? You are a part of the fabric, and the kids need to see you. Anything you can say, Dom?
Oh, wow.
Fantastic. Fantastic statement, Goody. Fantastic. Coach, I'm going to see you in March during the Sun Belt Conference Championship. I'm calling it right now.
Let's go. Let's go. Because we ain't doing it for not. We ain't doing it for not. You know?
You got a senior-led group. They will buy into what you say. Give them a month to two. After that Christmas break, you got some dogs coming back.
Let's go. Yes, sir. I think you are speaking. You are manifesting exactly what my vision is. And I love the fact that you guys invited me to do this podcast. I love the fact that, Goody, you are still in the game, because the game needs powerful voices and minds like yours. I can't give you enough flowers. I don't think I could find the largest acred orchard to be able to present you with all the flowers that you deserve, because the WNBA and women's basketball wouldn't be what it is if it didn't have people like you, you know? And for you to be a product of Old Dominion University and you come back the way that you do, you are now a fixture. And in my 3 years that I've been here, I have been hard pressed to get family to come back And I really want the ODU alumni for the women's basketball programs. I don't care what year you played here, and I don't care whether y'all won or lost. Come back home. Mm-hmm. Come back home, because this university needs you. This program needs you. And these girls need you. You don't know who you can impact. You don't know whose life you can change. You don't know how you can be an extension of me to be able to impact and empower on a daily basis. Come back and help, because the championship quest that we are on, we can only get there further and do it longer and harder if we have more support.
Absolutely. And we're going to shut it down on that one. How can we support you? How can we support you? You know, just on social media, you know, what is it? Like, what can we look forward to? We got the first game. Give us those dates. When conference play starts, you know, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay, so the way that you guys can support is, you know, anything surrounding the program, highlighting us, you know, using your social media platforms, tag us and stuff so we can retweet it. Maybe we can even collaborate, you know. You know, we put something out, we collaborate. Now we tag it to our account, I'll tag it to my personal account. And now instead of reaching 5,000 people, we might reach 20,000 people. All of that serves one another. That's how we can flow and have fluidity amongst each other. I love the fact that people are willing to give their time, but also support the program financially too. You may not have hundreds of thousands of dollars, but $50 and $100 goes a long way too. You know, on average, if I'm feeding the girls, that's, you might as well say $1,000 a meal. Yeah. You know, because they eat like football players, and I'm not going to feed them junk. I'm not sending them to McDonald's. You know, we're going to have us a nice, good, lean steak. We're going to have some nice salmon. We're going to have a nice cut of piece of chicken to go with some nice veggies and stuff. Help me be able to have amenities for them. They work hard. They deserve massages and cryotherapy and acupuncture and dry needling. These are a lot of the things we have to outsource a lot of the time. You know, where the men, people will just break it off for them with ease. But the women work just as hard, and we have even more things on our plate. They don't have to deal with menstrual cycles. They don't got to deal with hormones. They don't got to deal with, you know, all the plights that come along with being a woman in sports. So support us so I can get these girls what they need from a mental health standpoint, from a medicinal standpoint, and just to make them feel good about what they're doing and who they're doing it for. But first game is coming up November 7th against Lincoln. And I would love for our fans to come out and support. I'll make sure you guys get our schedule so y'all can tweet that out. We have 6 games in our non-conference play that will be played in Norfolk, Virginia at Chartway Arena. It makes no sense for our alumni not to be able to find the time to come back and support and show face and show support during these games. Our conference play will kick off December 28th, I believe, and we'll open up on the road against South Alabama. You know, they're a new program with a new coach, so we're hoping that it will be a great win for us going into our conference play. But the season is going to be packed with great games. We're playing the likes of NC State, Xavier, we have Elon and Wilman Mary. We have a good group of teams that we are playing where you can see some great competition on a nightly basis.
And you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind. Thanks, everyone, for coming on the show. And don't forget to download us on your podcast network. Follow me on Instagram, AGoody15, Adrian Goodson on Facebook, LinkedIn, all other networks. Sammy Sosa, peace out. Thanks for coming on the show.
That's awesome. You guys are great.